Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Mayor David Koss and Kate Noble, who is with the Economic Development Division of the City of Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be on the show again.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
So we are talking now about jobs, the economy, how Santa Fe is doing, the unemployment rate, and all of those kinds of things. How are we doing as a city within the state of New Mexico, within the country, in terms of providing jobs to people who want and need to work?
You know, well, Santa Fe is doing better than a lot of places around the country. We've got one of the lower unemployment rates, even in New Mexico, and New Mexico is lower than the national average now. But in the Great Recession that started around 2008, Santa Fe did lose about 4,000 jobs. And so I talked during the campaign about how do we get the 4,000 jobs back, really knowing what a great city Santa Fe is and how many things we do have going for us. And so this last year we looked at some of the areas where Santa Fe is, you see the economy evolving. Things that Santa Fe does well or that we're embarked on, and how is that working out for us? And the good news was that we saw 2,500 jobs created in some of the areas that we looked at.
In the period of about a year?
In about a year, about January 2010 to the end of 2010. December 2010 is what the report covers.
Right. And so we lost 4,000 jobs. We gained back 2,500 jobs. What is the role of the city in creating jobs? I mean, there are people who say, well, just leave it all to free enterprise, deregulate, and the jobs will come. But that's not how you're approaching it.
Well, that's not how we're approaching it, and that's not how successful economies approach it. You don't see any successful economy where there's no government. The most basic piece of our economy is our roads and our transportation systems, our water system, our wastewater system, schools, the basic infrastructure that you build a community on. I'll always remember having lunch with an entrepreneur. We're talking about what's the future economy of Santa Fe, and this gentleman had started up several businesses, very successful in Santa Fe, and then sold them and was looking for what his next startup would be. And I said, gosh, how does the city help you do this? How can we really be involved in facilitate? He goes, fix the streets, you know. So anybody tells you don't need government to have an economy, I just don't think they're looking at reality. But then past that, you know, what's the role of government? Strong regulation, but smart regulation, facilitation, some of the things that we've been able to do, we do in partnership with the private sector, with other levels of government. Probably my favorite example from the start of the recession was when the College of Santa Fe was going into bankruptcy, and the city of Santa Fe, because it has a great bond rating, stepped in with the state of New Mexico with a private corporation called Laureate Education, and we rescued a college. It has 400 students now. It's hoping that it might even have 1,000 students for the fall semester. So government couldn't do that by itself. The private sector wasn't going to do that by itself, but that partnership did it. So I think it takes collaboration, it takes partnership to have a strong economy.
And it takes, as you mentioned, having a functional and robust infrastructure.
Sure, and a functional and robust middle class that's skilled and trained and motivated and can do these jobs.
That's certainly, as the mayor said, it's the most important thing to most businesses is the basic functions of cities, that streets work, that trash pickups work, that water is clean and in the taps and all these things. And you can sort of add layers on top of that for economic development, which really do a few things. Facilitate connections is very often an important thing, because the city can act as a convener to bring conversations together and maybe catalyze some action in a particular industry. And we've tried to do that with Santa Fe businesses, have conversations about how bring together businesses to talk about how they can support each other, what they need, how they can share resources. Another way is just really to, and that's maybe part of it, create the environment that sort of cultivates entrepreneurship. If you think about it, there's long been a metaphor of economic gardening. You know, you want to fertilize the soil. You want to celebrate entrepreneurial successes. Make sure that people understand that this is a place where we like entrepreneurship and it matters to us. And part of that is also just smoothing the way, so that when a business comes in and needs something done from the city, for instance, the mayor signs a lot of letters of support for grant applications for various different entities trying to do something in this community. City Hall has been really great about coming forward with the, yes, we support that. One of the projects featured in the jobs report talks about the expediting of permits, which is an amazingly important thing.
I was going to say, if you look at where people get hung up, getting permits is most people's greatest nightmare.
Yeah, and the Head Start program in particular, it was something that Presbyterian Medical Services was looking to fill a bunch of Head Start slots, and they needed, in order to expand a number of facilities, they needed some permits expedited in order to meet the deadline to get the federal money to fill the Head Start slots. And that was something the city helped out with and got it done and made it possible for their expansion to go forward, for the Head Start slots then to be filled and to create jobs in the meantime while the expansions of the facilities went on.
So let's look at some of the, you have a new report out, which is about jobs and employment here in the city of Santa Fe. Let's look at the places where there has been a real increase. The highest single number is Santa Fe Community College.
Yeah, pretty. Some would say, well, those aren't real jobs because they're paid for with government taxpayer funds. But I think the construction workers help.
That's a job if you're getting a paycheck.
That's kind of my belief, but I think the construction jobs for building the Health Technology Center and the Green Technology Center were real jobs, real paychecks. And now there's so many students going into the community college that is just such an asset for Santa Fe. And so they've brought on additional professors, additional staff, and that's where that job creation came from at the community college. But now the community college, well, it has been, but it just gets better, is a key component of the economy of Santa Fe, because they train the workforce for Caterpillar, for Christa St. Vincent, for so many other small businesses in Santa Fe.
And that's really a great one, just because what we saw in the report, one of the sort of things that comes really clear is that construction is still the force that creates the largest number of jobs. But as you look at all of these projects, they're all sort of pointing to the evolution of Santa Fe's economy as construction has been weak and jobs are being created elsewhere. In the community college itself, you see the big number created by the construction of these new centers that they built for health and advanced technologies. But then you look at the community college and really what that's about and what they're doing, and it's precisely the evolution. It's retraining workers who've been traditional construction workers into doing green technologies, green building, health sciences. They're training nurses, EMTs, paramedics, that sort of thing. So it's, in a way, a really good one to see that the now creation of jobs has to do with construction, but the whole point is about retraining and getting people new skills for the new economy and the jobs that will last more than construction jobs do. They'll be more permanent.
Well, one of the things is if you have an economy based on, in large part, construction jobs, that means you basically are saying we're going to have a city with infinite growth that's just going to keep growing and constructing, and of course, in a desert landscape, that's not viable.
Oh, sure, and you saw in the last census that Santa Fe's growth rate is actually fairly low compared to Albuquerque or Las Cruces or Rio Rancho. And yet when the economy hit, you saw also that, 7% unemployment rate is not a good unemployment rate, but it was 2% lower than the rest of the state at the same time. So Santa Fe is moving towards a more stable and a more sustainable type of economy. Government and tourism are always going to be very, very important parts of the job base and the economic base of Santa Fe. But I think what was so interesting about going back and looking, we've been talking about these programs, we've been working on these programs, what really happened. And so you see the community college with 400 jobs. You see the public schools with several hundreds of jobs in the new schools that they're building. You saw Caterpillar come in and start manufacturing or take over manufacturing and expand a manufacturing operation in Santa Fe. That couldn't be better.
What's that about? Tell us about the Caterpillar.
Caterpillar bought a Santa Fe business called Clean Air Systems.
Clean Air Systems, yeah.
And it was some technology developed here at the labs with a gentleman and his wife, Michael Roach. They build clean air systems. They build pollution control systems for heavy equipment like diesel engines and diesel generators. And they got a little loan from the city. Again, collaboration, little cooperation and support. It was Josie's old tortilla factory, right? Mm-hmm. They took that building and retrofitted it for a manufacturing operation and just became very successful. And now I had lunch with the vice president and Michael last week. They're working on a giant order for Santiago, Chile, because Santiago's embarked on an air quality program and retrofitting all the heavy equipment that they can in Santiago. So Caterpillar bought them, so now we have an international manufacturing firm with, I think, 40 new jobs. So there'll be 100 jobs at Clean Air Systems. That's money into the city. That's not just...
Right. And those are permanent jobs, and the majority of them haven't even been created yet just because the expansion is still underway. So they've created some jobs in the transition, but they're still looking to hire about 70 more people next year, or this year in 2011. And those, again, will be, they're permanent, they're well-paid jobs, and it's a great one for Santa Fe. That really illustrates one of our strengths, which is simply that people just love to be here and they feel like it's a good place to be creative, to pursue the entrepreneurial dream, if you will. And Michael Roach, the founder, and his wife, who built this company up from the ground, are here just because they love Santa Fe. And when they sold the business to Caterpillar, one of their requirements was that Caterpillar keep the company in Santa Fe for a decade or more.
Right.
So the operations will be here. Caterpillar has dug into its much deeper pockets than Clean Air had and is really, as Michael Roach would put it, taking it to the next level.
Leave it to Santa Fe to have their great manufacturing factory be a green technology type of thing.
Right.
Are they also... I mean, they're manufacturing clean technology equipment. Are they also doing clean technology? In other words, pollution control in their own facility?
They have very few emissions from that facility. It's mostly a machining product. But the site just works so well for them. It's close to the airport. UPS is setting up a connection with them. They're close to a potential rail runner station, which will help their commuters get into the job. When we met with the vice president and with Michael last week, he was even teasing us about moving the headquarters from Peoria to Santa Fe. I go, well, let's let's stick with tradition.
One step at a time.
I think Caterpillar should, headquarters should be in Peoria. But
and 15,000 people would be a heck of a relocation.
Yes. Yeah.
But I... that what was interesting to them is how can we make the bus system work for getting their workers to and from work? What's the potential for the rail runner as they expand so that they can have a larger pool of workers? It was very important for them that we really got the building permits done on time because this was an expansion that needed to go through early neighborhood notification and review. And so Matt O'Reilly and his folks in the Land Use Department really worked with them to make sure their plans met our codes, but that we got them from to yes as fast as we could to get these jobs and to get this opportunity.
Yeah, that was important. Caterpillar had a whole schedule, and the Land Use Department really did some hero's work in making sure that they met that.
We're talking to Mayor David Koss and Kate Noble from the Economic Development Division of the City of Santa Fe. Another area where there's quite a lot of jobs in Santa Fe is the film industry, which I used to call New Mexico's burgeoning film industry. Now we're a little worried because it was under attack in the legislature and so on. But how's the film industry doing here?
Well, the film industry was doing great, and I think is still going to be successful in Santa Fe. It was interesting to see an industry be under attack in the legislature for reasons we still can't quite fathom. But they did reduce the overall amount that the state was willing to contribute to the industry. The biggest project that we're looking at right now is Mask Studios, which is a state-of-the-art post-production facility that would be located in the rail yard. I believe it was a $12 million facility that the banks put their financing on hold while they figured out what was going on with the legislature and the film tax credit. So now we want to move forward on that. But we still have a film being made in Santa Fe. What we've been trying to grow in Santa Fe, too, is local filmmaking capabilities. We've partnered with the Santa Fe Alliance, the Business Alliance, to help local businesses kind of serve the film industry and know what they're going to be looking for. One example that John Hendry from IATSE had said, you could sell a lot of lumber to a film company. If you can be open at 2 a.m. in the morning when they need to shoot and they want it then,
I've heard of 24-hour bacon and eggs,
yeah.
But 24-hour timber sales.
Yeah. Well, but that's what the film industry is so good about it is they need plumbers, they need carpenters, they need caterers, they need makeup artists, they need electricians, they need
hotels, restaurants.
Fabric, lumber, paint, you name it.
So they essentially build little cities for sets, and so they need everything.
How well are they cleaning up after themselves?
Well, I think they're cleaning up after themselves very well, and they're kind of priding themselves on how green can this film be and how little impact can we have. And so you see a lot of that happening. Some of it, I guess one of the latest ones I got to go to last year was Bless Me Ultima, which they just did at the studios at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. So it was it looked like it was in northern New Mexico, and a lot of it was, but a lot of it was just right in that studio.
And one of the things that the union here, IATSE, has done very well is lead the way in trying to keep the film industry green, because it's something that actually a lot of filmmakers are very invested in, and they feel it's very important to them. So the local crews and location managers have been really good about giving films options to better clean up after themselves, even offset any impact that they might have by buying credits. I think John Hendry calls himself the business agent with zero carbon footprint, because he works on, even when he flies somewhere, offsetting the carbon impact there. But our local people have been really good, because they've recognized that it's a marketing point, too. If we can have green filmmaking options, actually even the biggest players in the industry are willing to pay somewhat of a premium for that to make sure that their production is clean and not doing damage to the planet.
The jobs that were created in this period of basically the year 2010 and up a little bit into the new year, some of them are permanent jobs, some of them are temporary jobs. The film industry is kind of a funny hybrid, because you have to get a new job each film, but when you have an ongoing film industry, you are working in an industry. I have a close friend who works in the film industry and is always working, but it's a new film each time. But in the rest of them, with construction, the job ends when the construction project is finished. With teaching, presumably that's what you think of as a permanent job, or these Caterpillar Clean Air jobs. Did you separate that out when you were looking at the report, permanent and temporary?
Not really in terms of adding up the numbers. It's roughly about one-third would be permanent versus the construction jobs. And that would include, for the tourism businesses, what we did there was we actually sent out an email through the Convention and Visitors Bureau's mailing list to say, did you hire anyone last year and for how long? And, of course, a lot of the tourism businesses have temporary work. They hire somebody for the summer season. So if they wrote back that they hired somebody full-time for 3 months, we counted that as a full-time equivalent, a quarter of a job, and added up every response that we got to a total of 192 jobs created. Now, those would be difficult to break out because some of them are truly permanent, are businesses that expanded and hired more people, and some of them were just temporary help. So, and the temporary help, you know, if a business did really well, they might go on to then create new jobs. So like film, tourism is kind of one of these, you get into a gray area. The film jobs, we probably would count, and we did a lot of discounting, some portion of those as permanent jobs, but not all of them, because as you point out, being in film, it's a career, but each job is individual. It's like permalancing, permanent freelancing type of thing.
Permalancing, is that a term?
I've heard it a few times. Didn't just quit.
I heard that one. But you have another form or another name for it, don't you?
Well,
around the federal tax form?
Yes. Well, it's the 1099 Nation.
1099 Nation.
Right. 1099 Nation.
And the Santa Fe Complex is another project featured in the report, and they've really helped us start thinking differently about the how we look at it and how we look at project work. And they are sort of one step more applied than, say, the Santa Fe Institute or Los Alamos National Labs. We look at them as a bridge for some of those big think places to Santa Fe's real economy. And what they've talked about for years now is the project economy, that really everything is based on what project are you working now. And the film industry is the perfect model for that, because you might work on something for 2 or 3 years, but it's still just one film, just one project. And so the Santa Fe Complex's dialogue is around, look, let's create projects, maybe let's develop this software or technology, smartphone app, something, and that project will bring together people of different skills, just as film does, and put them to work for a period of time. I think they've loosely talked about a project can last about up to 3 years, is what most of us work in cycles that would be 3 years or under. And after that, maybe people go their separate ways, but they've learned how well they work together. They've learned that, you know, somebody else is a good graphic designer, so on their next project, they'll bring them in to be the designer for the software or whatever it is. And they've really argued that this is the future of work, that the old model of working for a company, an institution for 30 years and putting away your retirement and then drawing that out is shrinking much more than it's growing or going to be something that's around for the next few generations.
Unless you're working for the city or the state, where people put in their 20, 30 years and retire
years
happily.
Now. Yeah. And so it's an interesting new thing to look at, and I think most of us intuitively would agree that you don't work for the same place for 30 years very much anymore, and that we're all sort of in charge of our own retirement now. You know, we like the retirement contributions. It's a wonderful and important benefit that a lot of employers give. But a lot of people of a younger generation don't expect that to be what they live on when they retire necessarily. And the Santa Fe Complex is really sort of pushing to the new economic model of a more flexible workforce that comes together as needed and disperses as needed. And a lot of economists say this is how we remain competitive, is with that flexibility of skilled people really having few barriers to keep them from coming together, working on something, and then going apart and coming together again later on something else.
And, of course, for the people who are in that kind of life, when the economy is down, there are serious dry periods in between, and that's extremely stressful unless there are either services or decent unemployment benefits or something in between.
Sure. And you go back to government there, Mary Charlotte, of, you know, we need, as a base, good infrastructure to support this kind of collaboration and work. You need health care reform.
We still need health care reform.
We still need health care reform. I think that you see that as one of the drags on the economy is people stay in jobs they don't like because, oh, it has health insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid to venture out into new things because it doesn't have health insurance. And so
that's
a giant issue for our economy.
Yes, to study the detriment or the effects on the workforce of having people in jobs they don't like. Mm-hmm. I don't know to what extent you can quantify that, but
it's a productivity number, and it's a very difficult one. But Alan Greenspan, as the chairman of the Fed, was obsessed for many years with productivity because it really is key. If you have somebody who's working at one-third of their potential, and you can even get them up to two-thirds because they're more engaged in their job, that's a doubling of productivity.
Yeah.
It's a really important factor in terms of getting things done.
Let's go back to the tourism issue for a moment. Tourism is something that has its ebbs and flows. What is the city doing to try to increase and maintain the numbers of tourists who come to this destination, Santa Fe?
Well, you know, we have a working group now with all the hotel managers and with the new Convention and Visitors Bureau, Jim Bradbury, and we're focusing on promotion of the city. We're focusing more now on groups visiting Santa Fe. Our individual market is actually pretty good and recovering pretty nicely. I mean, we are a great place to come from Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, Arizona, California, even the Midwest. What we're trying to increase right now is the group visits. We had a great conference last year of aquatic biologists, over 1,100 aquatic biologists.
Why'd they come here? There's no aqua.
There is water here. The reason they came is a friend of mine, Jerry Jacoby, is an officer in that organization. It's an international organization, and he said, you guys ought to come to Santa Fe, and he got them to hold their conference here. So
that's so great.
So whenever...
Close to the mayor's heart, too.
Yeah, I have a good time going and looking at the water bugs and stuff, but we need more of those, you know, and that's something that we found our competitiveness. We got one of the best convention centers anywhere in the United States, and we need to really be hitting our stride on that now. We can't use the economy as an excuse. We need to go out and market
and really promote the heck out of the convention center.
Exactly.
And the trend is improving. 2010 was better than 2009. I learned a new term, which is called RevPAR. Every industry has their own. But RevPAR is basically how full a hotel is and how much is being paid for the room. So if you have greater occupancy at a better rate for a hotel owner, in other words, so a higher rate, then it's better RevPAR. And that was something that ticked
up. Do we know what that stands for?
Revenue per available room, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that might be right. But so the RevPAR is a very important measure for the hospitality industry. And that was something that definitely improved in 2010 over 2009 throughout the year. You see the curve just slightly above. It wasn't a giant improvement, but it was definitely a good trend to see. Hotels had more people staying in them, and their rates, which came way down in the recession, were starting to pick up again to be a rate to bring in better profits.
It's something I've never thought about, but how you market to, I mean, every association in the world has a conference.
Exactly.
But how do you market to every association in the world? That's a challenge.
They have their ways.
Yeah.
There are actually conferences of meeting planners, because, for example, the Limnological Society that came, you know, they hired a meeting planning firm to help, you know, work with Santa Fe, put the whole program together.
Right.
Limnological?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I like that.
Limnology.
Limnology. And we're not even going to talk about what limnology is now, because that's outside.
It's the study of fresh water.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, there's meeting planners, and our folks go to, and then they have conferences of meeting planners. There's one in New York. There's one in Chicago. and you go and you market Santa Fe.
Right.
But it's a lot of work because, you know, every town with a meeting center is going to be there trying to get business to come their way.
And I would argue one of our greatest assets is always the people that live here, so that we have your friend, Mr. Jacoby, who's involved and ends up bringing it here. And that's something that, again, the Santa Fe Complex has worked on, these systems, which all begin with individuals making connections throughout. And from Santa Fe, we have a lot of people out there in the who know people out there in the world who might be willing to bring something here. And people want to come to Santa Fe, which is by far our greatest asset, and be creative. I know another conference that was about, you know, men playing squash, and they said, well, look, our wives all want to go to Santa Fe. So it's always a great place to have this gathering. And it just comes back to that main asset that we have is Santa Fe, which is this is a wonderful place to be, which is good for cultivating entrepreneurship. It's good for attracting tourists. It's good for attracting conferences. The quality of life and quality of community here is really the biggest factor in marketing everything we have that makes our economy work.
I was sitting in a bar the other day, and I met some people from a school in Staten Island called the Petritus School, and they were here doing a Habitat for Humanity build in New Mexico. And, I mean, the first thing out of their mouth was what they were doing there. The second thing is, where's the shopping? And that's a real draw for this place.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And good shopping, so you can wander around in local shops downtown, and it doesn't feel like every mall in America. You
exactly.
get really unique stuff, which a lot of people are looking for these days. They're tired of just the same old chain stores everywhere. They want something completely unique and original for themselves to wear or show off, but and certainly for gifts, and it's something that Santa Fe has cultivated really well.
We're talking to Kate Noble from the Economic Development Division of the City of Santa Fe and Mayor David Koss. Let's talk about some of the other sectors. The Santa Fe Public Schools, that's there's a bond, and that what was the bond about, and how did that result in almost 300 jobs?
Well, it was, a property tax bond approved by the community to build and rehabilitate new schools. One that came online that you may have been to is the Amy Beale School out by the community college. It's a beautiful school. They're retrofitting what used to be Alameda Junior High. Now it's the Aspen Magnet School. Beautiful school. They're going to rebuild Agua Fria Elementary School completely. So you see those kinds of projects. They're really big, multi-million-dollar projects that employ a lot of workers while they're getting done.
And then once they are done, they leave, of course, the schools with better infrastructure to serve the students and serve the community. So ultimately, it gives us something long-term to hang on to, that infrastructure for education that stays with us.
I think that's perhaps one of the things that people can take away from this conversation as they go into their day, is that jobs, the kind of jobs we're talking about, are not only employment, but they are actually improving the city, improving future generations in the short, medium, and long term.
They're investments as well. You know, the better your infrastructure, the more solid it is, the more stable your economy can be, and you can keep going forward with it.
Another thing to talk about is the Buckman Direct Diversion Project. That also produced almost 200 jobs.
Right, and that's, that's a pretty proud accomplishment for this community. It was probably 20 years in the making. We have a state-of-the-art diversion project now. It employs about 40 people full-time, but it was a over $200 million project, so it had hundreds of construction jobs this last year. And I don't think you can overstress the importance of that to our economy because, for example, right now we're in the second worst drought in recorded history. But this restaurant's not affected. We're not going into emergency water stages where we double and triple water rates to get people to stop using water. Santa Fe is very conservative in the way that it uses water, But we can continue now to, with the water rates we have, with the water usage patterns we have, even though we're in a serious drought, because the government completed the diversion project and brought the city a new source of water supply. So lots of jobs, but I think if you just think about what the emergency stages we were in 2002 when we didn't have that supply, and the fact that one of the ways we would manage demand now is to pump up water rates, what that would do to a restaurant business, what that would do to a hotel business, what that would do to your yard. We don't have to do that this year because we have this new infrastructure and an additional source of supply.
How sustainable in the long term is that source of supply? I mean, are we depleting the aquifers and all of that?
No, what that helps us do is not deplete the aquifers. We can use that source of supply and rest our Santa Fe River wells and our Buckman Wellfield wells so that we can, when we have snow, either in our mountains or in the San Juan Mountains, we'll use surface water, which is a very sustainable, replenishable source of supply.
As long as it rains and snows.
Right. I mean, one thing that this community and every community has to plan for is global climate change and the fact that it is getting warmer. It brings us a little more precipitation as it gets warmer, but it evaporates. So the net effect is we become drier. But what Santa Fe now can produce about 15,000 acre feet of water in a year, and our demand is still only around 10,000 acre feet. So, our conservation efforts have paid off. Our investments are paying off. We do have to look to what's the effect of global climate change on our source of supply, but I think it's more important than ever to rest those wells and to not deplete the groundwater, because that's not a renewable source.
Right, right.
And the diversion project by using San Juan Chama surface water lets us rest that source of supply.
And which is all of this not to say don't keep conserving, because
we
need to conserve really badly.
Santa Fe needs to get better and better at that.
Yeah.
One ancillary project, connected project to the Buckman Direct Diversion, is a solar array that was installed to power the Buckman Water Treatment Plant. And this is another way that the infrastructure is made more stable, for one thing. As the mayor points out, it's really important to have a stable water supply, and economically, confidence matters. It's partly a confidence game, so that giving businesses the security that they're going to have water at a stable rate is certainly a very important thing in cultivating a good economy here in Santa Fe. But equally, this solar field, which powers about 40% of the Buckman Water Treatment Plant, means that there's some security against any disruption that could be possible in electric supply. Not to mention, it helped people learn how to install solar photovoltaic panels, and has given us a leg up on sort of getting a green industry going. Not to mention, it's green power, it's renewable, so it's not going after fossil fuels to power the water treatment of the Buckman project. So that, and the solar array of the wastewater treatment plant, both of which were installed this past year, were both job creators, but also good green projects, as you pointed out, Mary Charlotte, again, sort of moving the economy in the right direction and putting good infrastructure in place.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great model to look at when you have public works projects of one kind or another powering them by renewable energy.
Uh-huh. We put in 2 megawatts this last year of solar energy.
I tried to do a calculation not too long ago of the area of the Walmart parking lot. And if you added up all the Walmart, Target, and Smith's parking lots in New Mexico and put solar over them, how many megawatts would that produce?
Well, each are 1 megawatt, and the wastewater array is on 11 acres of airport land, and the Buckman Direct Diversion Array is on about 8 acres of land. So together that's 19 acres, and I'm sure you're right that we've got a lot more of parking lots than 19 acres if you started adding it all up.
Yeah.
And those each are, as the mayor mentioned, about a megawatt, which is equivalent to 500 home systems each. So last year that's about the equivalent of 1,000 home photovoltaic systems that were installed for these two projects.
So we're talking about job creation here in the city of Santa Fe. Let's not forget to talk about the Santa Fe Business Incubator. It didn't produce a huge amount of jobs, but definitely produced jobs, and they're trying to, as the name says, incubate other businesses in the city.
And I think, you know, the incubator is more than 10 years old now, and it's been producing jobs year after year through the recession, through the recoveries.
The total's around 750 in the past decade, I think.
Yeah, and so that's very significant for us. But also, again, when you're talking about an evolving economy, one of the projects that the Business Incubator is involved in is biotechnology. And they've applied for, I think, $1 million grant from the federal government where they want to build a wet lab there in Tierra Contenta at the Business Incubator for various startup biotechnology firms so that they can use the equipment and the facilities to get their businesses started. So again, that's an exciting thing that I hope we'll be reporting in next year's report, that they got that grant and that 3 or 4 companies are now using the wet lab, and there'll be construction jobs constructing the wet lab and then jobs coming out of using it there.
And those jobs, as you point out, it's not the highest number in the report, but it's probably, there's some very high-quality jobs, those that are coming out of the Business Incubator, because they're almost always permanent and they're almost always high-wage. And these are in growing companies that maybe don't move as fast and create as many jobs as quickly as some other projects, but over the long term, they really do add up and they grow incrementally for Santa Fe's economy and really serve to diversify the economy and give us new sources of revenue, of tax, of job creation in developing industries. And the incubator's just been at the forefront of being that and of being really a hub for entrepreneurs. You don't have to be a resident of the incubator to take advantage of what goes on there. Any business in Santa Fe can access the resources that they have available, can get advice on growing their business. And so the incubator, all that we're counting is the businesses that have been there creating jobs. You know, it's in a way a very conservative estimate, and it's only 1 year's numbers, but the ripple effects of the incubator over the long term get much, much larger and really magnify if you look out at a few years.
What is the unemployment rate at in Santa Fe right now?
As of the paper this morning, it was about 6.7%. In January, it was about 7.1%, I believe, was the
February of 2011, 7.2, yeah.
So we've dropped 0.5% this quarter so far.
And the hope is to keep doing this. I mean, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, we lost 4,000 jobs during the so-called Great Recession, during that little meltdown. Is the goal to get those 4,000 jobs back, or what is the goal that you have set in the Economic Development Division in the city?
Well, there's several. One of the goals is to get the 4,000 jobs back and to get an unemployment rate back towards full employment, where Santa Fe was before the recession of around 2 or 3% unemployment. But the goal is also for those to be good jobs, and that's why the focus on the evolution of the economy is so important, because we want them to be good jobs. I think it's very important that they be stable, that Santa Fe can move away from a boom and bust and a bubble economy, but that the jobs have good wages, good benefits. Help you buy a house in Santa Fe. Can't stress how important it is to have the workforce of Santa Fe living in Santa Fe for our economy.
Well, let's talk for a moment about HomeWise.
And so we're looking for that evolution where, you know, government, tourism, always going to be important. But so is the creative economy. So is film and media. So is art. So is green technologies. So is manufacturing. And have a broader base to our economy.
And when you talk about having the kinds of jobs that can support buying a house, HomeWise, this wonderful organization that is helping people of lower, modest incomes to actually get into houses that they can afford and buy them.
Right. They're listed in our report as a job creator last year because they're doing a project out on Old Las Vegas Highway that will be, I think, 40% or more affordable housing sold at affordable prices. But they've also had 130 jobs in construction, building housing.
And they've been a job creator, but they've also really, I mean, as you say, helped people get into homes. And more, it's not even modest income. It's just as times have gotten tougher, lendings tighten up. HomeWise is where, you know, the middle class almost goes to buy a house these days. And they do it very responsibly. They make sure everybody takes financial fitness so that we don't have a repeat of getting underwater on so many mortgages as we did a number of years back. And they're building very often green houses. Of course, Santa Fe has a green building code, so they have to a lot of the time. But HomeWise was ahead of that and installing solar and water catchment. So they're creating jobs and helping people to be able to live and work in this economy. And one of the things that Mike Lofton, their executive director, is always talking about is the quality of life that is added when you can live and work in your own community. And you can cut out the commute, and so you have more time with your family, more time with your dogs, more time with your garden, more time with yourself, and that you don't have to add, you know, 2 hours each day going to and from work, that sort of thing. So it's certainly helping this to be a community and to be a healthy economy to have a player like HomeWise working so hard on providing options for people.
Now, is our educational infrastructure, namely primary education and our middle schools and high schools, are they keeping up with that need to produce an educated, well-trained workforce? I ask this because during the legislature there was this whole question of whether we test third graders to see if they can read, and I thought this just can't be true. And then a friend of mine came over with her little son who's in second semester of second grade, and he couldn't read The Cat in the Hat.
You know, it's a true thing. I go to Capitol High and Santa Fe High fairly frequently, and there are some excellent, excellent programs in film, art, theater, engineering, medical technologies. And so you can get a great education at either of those two high schools and throughout our public school system. At the same time, something approaching 50% of the student body population does drop out. And so whether a child can read at third grade is critically important. New Mexico needs to do better in that area. I'm one that doesn't think you achieve that by attacking teachers and attacking public school systems and cutting their funding year after year, which is what we've seen for the last 4 years running now. The other thing that I think Santa Fe needs to recognize, and I'm not sure what the answer is, but about 75% of the student body is considered low income. You have schools such as Agua Fria, where my granddaughter goes, that 100% of the student body qualifies for free lunch, free federal lunch.
Right.
And that gets worse after middle school, when so many parents who are able, they go through the sixth grade and then they take them out. I'm hoping some of these K-8 programs start to turn that around. But that's one of the Achilles heels of our economy and our society, is the fact that we're not educating our children as well as maybe we used to 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
Well, unfortunately, it's just about time to wrap up. We've been talking to Mayor David Koss and Kate Noble with the Economic Development Division. So people are listening. They want to find out more. How can they get the report?
The report will be available through a link on the city's website and through the city's economic development website, but www.santafenm.gov will have an announcement of the report and the link to the full report if people want to go see it.
Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.